This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, we should say host, but also realtors with Oakland Realty. And today, just us here. It's just a recap of the market we're talking about. We're almost at the end of Q1 here. Hard to imagine. I feel like we just started the year. And some exciting changes, subtle shifts in the market, a brand new war in the Middle East. Lots to unpack.
Oh, see, yeah. Exciting times. One thing I will say, Adam, is this is an unpacking of the current market through quiz questions, which is a new concept for the show. But you know what? We have that segment that remains nameless, the quiz segment, and the feedback has just been so overwhelmingly positive. We decided just to turn the show into a quiz show, which we've done today.
Just for this episode.
Just for this episode. Who knows? Maybe this will be a recurring thing. I went into my office and came up with some questions. You went into your office and came up with some questions. And we basically just go back and forth and try and unpack certain trends in the market based around these quiz questions. So it makes for some real compelling listening. I'm supposed to say this for YouTube. You won't believe question 8's answer. No, just joking. But some of them are interesting. That's for sure.
Hang around till the end to the biggest insight will expose itself. No, but there are a ton of amazing takeaways today for sure, Matt. But before we get to that, quickly highlight a listing because we're not doing the segment that remains nameless. We've got enough questions today.
That's right. We definitely don't want to take too long with another quiz question. I want to highlight a listing and I want to say at the outset, so many people from the podcast who listen to the podcast, the VREP community, have reached out to work with us over the years. And we love working with you. We love helping you sell your properties. We love helping you buy or move through the market, whatever. It has been such a great experience. So if you're interested in working with us, we'd love to hear from you. VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, where you can also check out this listing. It's 201 1429 William Street, just off Commercial Drive, Adam. And, you know, I often say the best part of Commercial Drive, but this is truly the best part of Commercial Drive. Right by the park and Havana's and Mum's the Word. In my mind, there's no argument there. You're also close to a number of breweries. So you're just west of Commercial Drive here. So it's basically walking distance to some of the best Vancouver has. This is a huge one bed, 730 square feet. Fully renovated. The building also has tons of upgrades, newer windows, I should say, newer siding, newer pipes. It's one of those 70s buildings that's been almost totally updated, ready to go. Interestingly enough, gas fireplace, which is unique. It is worth checking out at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. It's offered at $579,900. This one will not be on the market for long. That is for certain. It's at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. And like I said, we'd love to work with you. Hit sell with us for the sold plan. Hit buy with us for our resources. And we're looking forward to hear from you.
Do you spend a lot of time at Mom is the Word? I feel like I've never been there, but
oh, I've spent you know what? The only thing that's a little off about Mom's the Word is the bathrooms have that strange lighting that highlights all the dandruff on your shoulders, which is a little off-putting in my mind. But other than that, I love that place.
Well, it's, yeah, the coincidence is Mom was your word for every fist fight we had growing up. So it's come full circle. Anyways, we'll see you on the other side, Matt.
Attention realtors, homebuyers, and investors. If you missed out on Atlin at Clayton Crest by Zentera Developments, here's your second chance.
Atlin sold 80% in just 3 months, Adam. And because of that success, Zentera is launching Building 2, Butte.
Located in West Clayton and walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, prices are still low for now, but not for long.
Homeowners across the Lower Mainland are using equity from their current homes to invest in West Clayton, ahead of the SkyTrain and the next market upswing, because when that SkyTrain is complete and the market rebounds, it'll be too late.
This, Matt, is how wealth is built. Find out why Atlin sold so fast and register now at buttecondos.ca. That's B-U-T-E condos.ca.
Hi, I'm Michael Yu.
And I'm Morgan Brown, and we're the founders of Oakland Realty. We have 9 offices across British Columbia.
Serving all major markets of BC. If you're an agent out there, just like Adam and Matt, who happen to be licensed at Oakland, please reach out to us at oakland.com/join and type into that message box, the rep, and you'll receive a free gift and a promotion when you meet one of our leaders.
Thanks so much, and we're looking forward to meeting with you.
See you soon.
Okay, Matt, so it is the trivia show. We haven't done this, we do a segment every week, but this is the whole show. We're just going back and forth, a tete-a-tete, on the market, through trivia questions. You can play at home. Feel free to scream your answers out at the gym or on the treadmill or in your car or wherever you're listening to this. Question number one, Matt, I think you're going to start us off, and we'll go back and forth until we feel like we've got a well-rounded picture of the market.
Right. Yeah, this is that's exactly it, Adam. So the first one comes straight from the headlines. Andrew List, the chief economist over at Greater Vancouver Realtors, used a specific phrase to describe the market in 2026. What did Andrew call it, Adam? A, a buyer's market. B, a correction. C, the new normal. D, a transitional market.
Wow. So multiple choice right off the hop. Okay. So yeah. I actually know the answer to this because I feel like this is, first of all, I read the stats, but second of all, there's lots of people referring to, this was a COVID term, like a post-COVID term, I feel like.
Right. This is when I set up my home office.
I feel like this is a new term that's being used in our market. And it's because of, generally speaking, the same drivers are not, we used to have different motivating factors for buyers and sellers where I feel like that's totally been flipped now. And we're moving into like just a different type of market. And I think that's what Andrew was referring to.
Yeah, I think this kind of, you know, we're kind of consistently, the sales volume is consistently pretty close to 30% below the 10-year average. My impression is it's kind of an expectations reset that we're going to be plodding along here with these type of numbers for a while. I mean, what does it mean for buyers? It means if life circumstances mean you want to get into the market or move through the market, waiting doesn't necessarily make sense. And the same goes for sellers, right? I feel like there's been a price reset, expectations have been reset, and now we're kind of plodding along and we are firmly entrenched in the new normal. The other thing I was thinking about, Adam, and maybe you were implying as much, is the market doesn't react to the news in the same way that it used to. And what I mean by that is we used to almost talk about this market and, you know, a lot of people talk about the real estate shouldn't be commoditized and it should or it shouldn't, but it is, and wherever you stand on that. But we used to almost talk about the real estate market as a stock market. You know, the war in the Middle East, there'd be a pause for a couple of weeks where people kind of sorted out what is the impact, a rate increase or decrease, or even moving towards a Bank of Canada announcement would kind of, there'd be like a pause in the market to see how people would respond. It feels very different out there now. It doesn't.
It totally feels different.
People active in the market right now aren't watching the headlines like a day trader in the stock market.
And I wonder what effect, like, so here's one thing I've been thinking about a lot is, because I mean, that's like markets like, say, Winnipeg or Regina or other Canadian cities have kind of always been like that. Like it's, you know, I mean, when you like Winnipeg can be extremely busy for no reason. Seasonal fluctuations seem to matter.
Need homes. Yeah.
More. Yeah. Well, and it's kind of more end user based. So is this a product of you know, I've been thinking a lot about, like, right now, like the investors leaving the building. Smart money isn't chasing $700,000 condos anymore. It seems to be kind of decentralizing across Canada where the numbers actually pencil and make sense. We've seen a lot of money going towards Alberta, obviously, which, hey, Calgary and Edmonton might have some strong months, I guess, in the near future with oil prices, et cetera. But the other thing I'm thinking about too is, like, when you think about new normal, the Vancouver, you know, we've built the city through pre-sale construction and a model that has worked in this city that no longer works, right? So it's also in the pre-sale, there's completely different dynamics. So across the board, it's all these things that used to be in our market that we, you know, it feels like it's the whole thing has actually just fundamentally changed.
Yeah. It makes me wonder about our show in some ways because, and no, we'll still be bringing you riveting content, Adam. Don't worry about that. But
just monthly.
We used to, it was like, you know, every little thing seemed to kind of matter and the market was very more dynamic, really. Like it was ever changing. And right now, this new normal feels like we're entering into kind of a boring time in the market where it's like people are maybe more akin to just a normal real estate market. People are moving when they need to move and buying when they need to buy. And that's it. The one thing though, Adam, as a final point on the new normal is I was over at one of our new listings on West 43rd, just a stunning duplex, Adam, setting up our sign. Because that's the type of thing I'm doing these days. I was hammering.
Right after you mowed the lawn.
Yeah. After I put the finishing touches on the paint.
Yeah.
And the neighbor came out, older gentleman, you know, first made a comment, you know, oh, real estate always goes up, ha, ha, ha. Bought his first home on the West Side in 1970. Okay. He's watched his kids grow up and he's actually moved next door into a newer unit, downsizing. And I said to him something along the lines of new normal. And he said, listen, everything feels like it's new, but nothing lasts forever. He's like early 80s, mid 90s. He's like, Vancouver's always the same. When it's going up, everybody thinks it will never end. And in markets like this, people think it's never going to come back. And he's basically just suggested, we've been here a million times before. These cycles were in a moment where, you know, the new normal feels like it's the norm forever, but this too shall pass. So kind of an interesting perspective from a guy who's literally been in the market since 1970.
Well, we can't take 30 minutes on the first question, but here's what I'll say as well is because I've talked to a few, you know, I mean, the gray hairs in the room at brokerage meetings, the guys that have seen, excluding us. I mean, we've seen, you know, the past 20 years call it of this market, but the guys that have been around for a very, very long time, I think it's quite divided. I think that some feel like this neighbor, this hypothetical neighbor, that I guess that really happened, Matt. That's not just
it literally happened. It literally happened. Okay. In fact, I literally, the sign was not set up by me, but it was too high. This is the story. So Sonia, who works with us, was going to put an open house Sunday 2 to 4 sign. She couldn't reach. I was over there. He actually boarded me as a ladder. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, because so you're shorter than Sonia. So here's the... 5'6" on a ladder. Here's what I was going to say, though. The flip side of that, though, is that there's as many gray hairs in the room that are saying this feels fundamentally different than anything I've seen. So it is that it's a very weird moment, TBD, but a very interesting time for the market. And I feel like, of course, there's always going to be busier markets, but I don't think we're necessarily going back to the years of this show that maybe were the most exciting years of this show where every day there was something. Well, there will be headlines, just not maybe the headlines that are market shifts, right? So anyways, moving on to question two, I've got a good one for you. This one is based on property type. What property type in Metro Vancouver saw a year-over-year increase in sales in February of 2026? So for listeners at home, single-family detached, townhome, half-duplex, or apartments, condos.
Year over year increase?
Year over year increase in the February stats.
This is actually quite tough. I was going to say the obvious one is townhomes, but I'm not actually so sure it is townhomes. It's definitely not. I'm going to talk through this, Adam. It's definitely
would you like to phone a friend, man?
It's not definitely not single family, I would say. I'm going to exclude that one. It's definitely not duplex. That's for sure. I was going to say townhome, but I feel like this is... I'm going to go condo. My final answer.
You're wrong, Matt. So it was actually sometimes you just got to go with the obvious choice. I knew I'd throw you for a loop there. Townhomes, actually.
You were trying to trick me.
No, townhouses saw a rise in 7.8% from 359 to 387 sales. And I hate to tell you, but detached actually dropped 10.5% and apartments dropped 15.6%.
Oh, so it wasn't even close. Wasn't even close.
You were off, but townhouses is again the strong segment, which has been a story over the last couple of years. So,
but it makes sense, right? And it kind of dovetails with the new normal in that people moving through the market looking for that missing middle housing, people with families. Those are the people most active in this market. And the reason I thought it might be condos, honestly, is because my thought was townhomes were fairly busy early last year as well. But it's interesting that there's an increase over February 2025. I guess
if there's ever been it's just to me, it's like this is the perfect if you live in a townhouse and you feel like you're tight on space and you've been there for a while. And you are thinking or have dreamt about getting into the detached market, this is an incredible time for you. It really is. It really is an incredible time to move through the market. So think about that.
Okay, Adam, I got another one for you here. Question 3, Greater Vancouver Realtors area, active listings in February 2026, were how far above the 10-year seasonal average? Now, we know, of course, Adam, that listings are above the 10-year average. That's a story we've been talking about for years at this point. But I'll give you 4 options. A, roughly in line with the 10-year average. B, 17% above the 10-year average. C, 37% above the 10-year average. Or D, 31% above the 10-year average.
That's a tough one. I feel like I'm stuck on C and D. I'm going to go 31% above the 10-year average for the region.
31% above the 10-year average, your final answer. Adam, you were close, but you were wrong. It was 37. Always go with the highest. 37 above the 10-year seasonal average with 13,545 total active listings. Now, this is a far cry from
the worst advice ever.
17,000, whatever we had at some point last year. I can't remember exactly when that was. But here's the interesting point. The inventory levels are still wildly above the norm. But year over year, there's a slight change here with listings actually decreasing from between February 2025 and February 2026, 6.4% down. So interestingly enough, we're dealing with these elevated levels of inventory, but if you actually look year over year, there's a slight decline. So that's just an interesting kind of moment. Are we starting to see the end of these kind of 40% over the 10-year average in terms of inventory? To be seen. I think we've seen a couple month trend in that direction, but we'll see.
Well, we're still in a situation where we have the fewest buyers in 20 years meeting the most sellers in 30 years. So this is, it's still a very interesting market to watch. Buyers still have a significant advantage, but we'll see what's happening with inventory because as you'll see, there's inventory's changing right now. So
yeah, inventory's changing. And the interesting thing is I was talking to somebody looking on the North Shore and they said to me, like, when do you think we're going to start seeing some new inventory? They're new to the market. And I was like, we have elevated. This is like, you're in the best moment to be looking for a long time. But, you know, it dawned on me that it's still true, you know, even if the sales ratios are one or two out of every 10 homes are selling, the really good product still moves pretty quick. So a lot of that inventory that's kind of stale and sitting is not super attractive. And we've talked about that on the show before. It just is, you know, it is what it is. There's a lot of stuff that's not great out there.
Well, I think, and to go back kind of to the question that I had asked you, I think what will come out of this show as well, if you're a buyer, is there are, you know, I mean, like townhouses have kind of been the cheat code of the market, right? It's been chronically undersupplied. It's end user driven. It's an affordable product. It's a great investment, right? And so like in thinking about times like this, I think what will come out of this conversation is where the most resilient segments of the market are as well, right? But moving on, Matt, I want to move on to detached homes. A lot of listeners to the show live in detached homes. In January of 2026, detached homes had a sales to active listings ratio of over 10% or under 10%.
Ooh. And this is Greater Vancouver. This is the whole region.
I'm looking at the whole region.
Under 10%.
Okay. You're right. 6.7%. Which is, I think, about as low as we've seen the sales ratios.
Astounding.
It is astounding, right? It is. And so here's an interesting take. By February, it had recovered a little bit. It's at 9%, but still definitely considered a buyer's market, an aggressive buyer's market. And townhomes were 16.6%, and apartments were 14.1%. So detached across the region had the lowest sales ratio, which is going to be surprising for some people, because we've kind of over the years, we've always kind of, you know, if you had to go gold, silver, bronze, it would be detached, then like semi-attached, and then attached, right? Like, so, or detached townhomes, and then condos. So we're kind of seeing that flipped a bit. So interesting takeaway.
Well, I think it's just an affordability story at the end of the day, right? Really, in a lot of ways. But
well, and here's the thing. I mean, again, it goes to show, like, if you're in a busier sales activity market and you can move into the detached market, there's a real opportunity for people moving through the market, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Upwards.
Adam, maybe we'll move on. This is actually another single family question for you. And this caught my attention. So speaking of the west side of Vancouver, okay, the west side of Vancouver, the single family detached benchmark price has changed how much over the last 10 years, according to the home price index? So this is a 2026. We're looking from 2016 to 2026, February. Is it up 24%? Is it up 13%? Is it up 3%? Or is it down 8.5% over the last 10 years?
And this is for, and just to be specific, we're still sticking with the Greater Vancouver area.
Oh, this is Vancouver West Side. This is the West
Vancouver West Side. Oh, Vancouver West Side. Got it. Okay, I missed that. Okay. Oh boy. Yeah, I mean, I think that this would be one of those ones that it really depends on the submarket. But if we're going to go with the average across the board,
we're going to go benchmark across the west side.
Benchmark across the west side. I'm going to go 2016, 2017. I'm going to go down. I'm going to go the only option that was down.
The option was down. Well, I said 8.5. You are correct. It's actually 8.4%. I just didn't want to be too on the nose there. Because, you know, I'd give you, it was a tell. So this is one I think that should kind of stop people cold in their tracks, right? 10 years.
I think so.
And nearly 10% down. This is just a shocking one for me. And it makes you think, you know, it makes me think of kind of market cycles being kind of eight years. This is clearly outside the norm. The one thing that jumps out at me is the foreign buyer's tax that came in 2016, obviously. That was kind of the really a death blow in some ways. I mean, maybe death blow might be a little strong, Adam.
But for the West Side and West Vancouver,
it literally, that was the moment the market shifted in my mind. And 10 years later, we have not come back.
Well, it kind of reminds me of, I mean, you know, I hate to say it, but it kind of reminds me of when somebody contacts you who bought their home in 2021. And there's going to be a lot of people that listen to this show who bought in 2021. It was a time when people were moving, right? It was kind of that COVID boom. It's tough to be up. If like across the board, like if you're looking at 2021, it's tough to be in profit territory, you know, depending on the type of product. But,
I do have the stat here for West Vancouver as well. It's minus 5.8 over 10 years. So the West Side really is 8.4 and West Van is down 5.8. Yeah.
That surprises me because I feel like West Vancouver is so has come off so dramatically, and I feel like there's huge opportunities right now in West Vancouver. It seems very, very affordable compared to the West Side from my perspective.
Yeah.
But
that's
an interesting stat. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
moving on to
I just want to say the interesting question is, when does that shift back to kind of growth and appreciation? There's no signs at this point. There's literally no signs at this point that we're getting to that stage right now. So
yeah,
we'll have to see.
All right. Okay, Matt. So I've got another question for you here. This is a good one. This is about apartments or condos on the West Side. We've talked a little bit about townhomes, a little bit about the detached market. Vancouver West had 201 condo sales in February 2026, making it the single busiest apartment market by neighborhood. But how does that compare to its January number?
201 sales on the West Side of Vancouver in condos?
Yeah, for apartments. Yeah, condos.
How does that compare? Like qualitatively, or do you have numbers, or should I put a number?
Okay, here. All right, I'll give you some numbers. I'll give you the option, the multiple choice. Okay. So January saw 152 sales. Okay. So that would be down roughly almost 49%. 49 units.
Probably 25%.
B, 125 apartment sales. C, 112 apartment sales. Or D, 98 apartment sales.
Okay. Now, I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but was that just basically 98 to 150 and then something in between?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it was fewer than 150. I'm going to go with C, not 98, the one above that.
125?
Yeah. 125. Final answer.
You are right. January saw 125 apartment sales. I like the deduction there. That was solid. You know, that marks what, 61% jump month over month in condo sales on the West Side.
Yeah.
So well, significant.
You know what, though? I feel the thing is, anecdotally, January felt like who turned out the lights? You know, like what's going on?
In a weird way, because it didn't feel like that on the ground. It didn't feel
I feel like February felt significantly busier, even though, you know, the sets. Like my point is January felt like dire in terms of like just how slow it was, and February felt significantly busier. That's why I was like, okay, 150 might not be enough. 98 seemed too dramatic. Anyway, just explaining the logic.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Totally makes sense.
Well, Adam, I'm going to go back to giving you three markets here because we talked about the West Side detached home market, and we talked about West Van as well. Now, I'm just going to go full home price index, okay?
Okay.
For the last 10 years, because I know you like that one. Over the last 10 years, which of these markets produced the highest return according to the GVR home price index? So this is the composite, Adam.
A,
Vancouver West, all property types. B, North Vancouver. C, Squamish, or D, Richmond? Which of these markets
produced
the highest return?
Okay, I'm going to cut Richmond right off the bat. So now I'm down to three here. So I'm going to go, man, on a side note, North Vancouver has been such a performing market, even in downturns. It's really incredible, the demand for North Vancouver.
Yeah.
And maybe not that shocking. I mean, it's a pretty nice place to live, but it's really been resilient.
Well, resilient and during COVID was exceedingly busy.
West Side, we've got, okay, let's see here. West Side's been strong, certain markets, like, you know, the standouts, like the Kits and the Fairview and the, yeah, but I can't bet against the Sea to Sky. Squamish is got to be there. That's got to be the winner.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? And as I came up with this question, I thought to myself, Squamish is, we've talked about it on the show. It's
exploded.
It's had such a run. So yeah, Vancouver West up 2.3%, North Van up 23.7%, Richmond
wow,
19%, Adam. These are all 10 years.
Up 19%. I cut Richmond, man.
I know, you were a little aggressive with your Richmond cut there, to be honest. Squamish, though, on the other hand, up 114%.
That's insane. Wow.
Remember when we had...
I wouldn't have guessed that high.
Boza on years ago talking about those townhomes. Man, if we all would have listened to Believe the Hype and bought in there, those.
I always remember our episode. One of my favorite guests was Lauren Siegel from Kingswood Properties. Come on and talk about just his vision for, just his thoughts on Sea to Sky and Squamish.
He was driving a Whistler and he was like, you know, as he drove through, he kept going, this is untapped.
Yeah. Was that your best Lauren Siegel? Yeah. Anyways, incredible guest, incredible insight into that market. And he was bang on. So anyways.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting takeaway from these stats, Adam. Really, the real estate wealth created in the region in the last 10 years has almost been, a lot of it has been outside of the city of Vancouver and actually further afield. If you look, some of the places I didn't talk about, Maple Ridge, almost 85%, Poco up close to 70%, Pitt Meadows up near 98%. So it's amazing to think from 2016 through 2026, that the real appreciation play has almost exclusively been the further afield you go, the better the return. So I wonder how much longer that lasts. We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Do you have a question there, or are you?
That was just the context for my last question. It's your turn.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's my turn. Okay. Okay, I'll go with, this is actually my last question. So I don't know how many more you have left there, but this is
nine.
Okay, okay, Matt, so this is my final question here. New West, which we've talked on the show a lot about. Obviously, I still think New West long-term is a great hold, really spectacular pocket in the Lower Mainland. New West apartments or condos saw the steepest year-over-year benchmark price decline in Metro Vancouver. How much did they fall? Was it 5%, 8%, or over 10%?
New West condos, 5%, 8%, or over 10%. Okay, well, 5% is struck. It's more than that. The question is, how much does Pure West impact pricing? No, just kidding. not a laughing matter, Adam.
Yikes.
8% or over 10%, huh? 8 feels a little low, but over 10 feels a little high. I think I'm going to go with 8.
You're going to go with 8?
Yeah.
Matt, it was over 10%, 10.6%.
Oh my God. 10.6% declines.
Yes. Yes.
Now, what would be the reasoning for that, eh? I wonder what the larger storyline there is. Is that just an affordability? Like, why New West?
Yeah, I mean, that one really shocked me. The 10.6 year-over-year change in New West. Just shocking. So,
you know, and it's shocking because, like, there's new inventory there. You know, I talked about Pure West and there's a couple other high rises, but New West is it's a very small place. There's not a ton of new inventory. Like, if I had to guess, I would have thought somewhere, you know, where there's just been an exceptional number of towers built. You know, there seems like there's candidates that would stick out to me more so than New West, that's for sure. So that's a surprising one. And you're right, New West is, I'm headed out there this afternoon. It's a great, I love New West. It's a great community, great place to be. So Adam, I'll maybe come with my final. So I started, I'm going to finish. We've talked a little bit about this on the show before, but we haven't really talked about downtown inventory yet today. And, you know, it's worth bringing up. So downtown condo inventory at the end of February 2026 was how different than 2025 February? So year over year. Was the inventory levels, were they up 12% year over year? Were they roughly flat within 5% either way? Were they down 18% year over year or down 35% year over year?
Well, this is a tough one. So and I've been speaking to a lot of agents, and this is an interesting takeaway for people.
You have a very busy,
I have a very busy,
very busy,
very busy listing at 1003 Pacific Street, unit 402. It's a great one. I mean, it's a great condo and it's a renovated condo. And I think it's getting a lot of activity because of that. But I would also argue that the inventory feels low in downtown, lower, I should say. And it feels like there's more activity. Like the amount of showings we're getting is significantly up.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go, what were the options of decreasing inventory?
So inventory is down. We have two options. 18, and they're both pretty dramatic. 18% year over year.
Yeah.
Or 35% year over year.
I'm going to go 35%.
Oh, that's bold. That is bold. That's your final answer.
That's my final answer. Yeah.
That is correct. So the inventory
levels. Yeah, it feels that way.
The inventory levels have decreased significantly, 35% year over year, and sales levels are roughly flat. So what does that mean? That means your listing are telling the tale, right? There's just fewer listings to see and as many buyers as there were last year. So what does that mean? Well, this was actually, we stole this from Richard Wittstock, Domus Homes,
sure,
past guest fan favorite. He's been talking about this a lot, but really he's watching those inventory levels as a sign of the bottom and of the turnaround, with the idea that it starts in the center and it ripples out from there. And he's monitoring certain markets. So he's a great guy to watch on LinkedIn. But This is really compelling stuff. The inventory is declining significantly downtown. So what does that mean? That means obviously pricing should stabilize if the trend continues, and potentially move in the opposite direction if the trend continues. So something to watch for the end, and a little bit of a positive take to end the show.
I don't understand why the inventory is dipping so aggressively. And I mean, is that meaning that people are renting out their places, taking their places off the market, or what's happening? That's it is a very tricky thing to try and wrap your head around, because it doesn't feel like that much has changed.
No. Although time heals all wounds, Adam, and downtown has been on its back for a while. So
yeah,
we're seeing a shift, as in any market cycle. Early days, as Richard has pointed out, and as we should say, but the green shoots there for sure.
And maybe an opportunity this spring for people that own, you know, condos downtown, that you've been thinking, oh, I'm going to wait for a brighter spot in the market. It's hard not to think that this is a brighter market than it has been. So a bit of a recovery. It could actually be not a bad time to list your condo downtown if you were thinking about selling this spring. So if you don't want to hold on for a much better market, which eventually will come as well.
Well, we are in the new normal, Adam. That's full circle.
Yes.
Let's end it on that. The new normal.
I love how the new normal, it's like the one phrase everybody wants to go away, but it's just getting recycled into everything in your life. So it's here to stay. Matt, we'll see you on the other side.
So there you have it, folks. A series of quiz questions that should give you some idea into this new normal market that we're in.
Just to kind of highlight some of the things, and you know, really we talked a lot, but here's a few things that have come up. And one that came that I mentioned in the show, the fewest buyers in 20 years met the most sellers in 30 years, right? So that kind of really captures the market we've been operating in. Townhouses are definitely chronically undersupplied. End user driven demand and the best price resilience of any segment of the market. So it's been great. You know, we didn't really talk about pre-sales, but we have been talking about pre-sales in the market, just where we're in this kind of moment where we've got a construction crisis. You know, basically the condo model that has built this city for the past 20 years is broken. And it's hard to see kind of a way out of how this model continues moving forward. You know, where do we see concrete tower? How do we imagine and see concrete towers being built in the near future, Matt? Other things investors have left the building, right? Yeah. And so, I mean, a lot of these things, however, some bright spots in the market, particularly enjoyed the stats this month and Andrew Liss's comments around the condos downtown, as well as Richard Whitstock's comments. So yeah, very interesting.
Absolutely. I guess that's it, Adam.
Yeah, Matt. If anyone wants to talk about listing their place or buying a place or anything else, the market in general, how can they get in touch?
They can get in touch with me at any time, 778-847-2854 or Matt at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or Adam at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
And of course, we got that Kokomo line, info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Well, have a great week, and we're back next week with another great episode.
Take care.
2,000 Spaces for Radio.
Subscribe today.